Ladies and gentlemen, stoners and growers, welcome to a midnight rendezvous like no other. I'm your host, Socrates Grows, broadcasting live from a server in the heart of America. Join me on this extraordinary journey through the lush foliage of my autoflower garden to learn how to grow your own fire at home. This is Autoflower Power, the podcast that takes you deep into the hidden realms of the horticultural marvels that we call autoflowers. On this week's episode, we'll be discussing purchasing your first autoflower seeds for your first garden. My goal in this episode is to make sure that you feel confident in the knowledge to make your first seed purchase for autoflowers and make sure that you get off to a great start. So sit back and enjoy this episode of Autoflower Power. The first thing we want to do when we're purchasing autoflowers is making sure that we're actually getting autoflowers and not photo periods. So when you're checking out any seed banks or anything else, just make sure that you're understanding the difference between an autoflower and a photo period. These are the two major types of photoing or flowering cannabis plants that you can grow. Photo periods do require a light switch, which means that you are changing the light schedule from a longer schedule to a shorter schedule when you want them to go to flower, so you control when they go into flower, versus auto flowers. And the auto part is that they flower whenever they want, so you don't have to do any light schedule change. We've gone over the light schedule changes quite a bit in other episodes, so feel free to check those out. But what we're discussing today is specifically about auto flower seeds. So when we're going to a website, we'll want to make sure that we are getting actual autoflower seeds. Some of the benefits of autoflowers for beginners are that they are automatic and that you don't have to worry about switching the light schedule. Another advantage that can, very commonly come across new growers' radars is that they tend to finish a lot quicker than photo periods. So they can be a couple months shorter than photo periods, in fact. Some autoflowers, you can go from seed to harvest in as short as 65 days. Typically, it's closer to 80 or 90 days, but there are certainly some fast finishing autos that you can get done super quick. And that's really attractive to people who are just starting out. And that's one of the main reasons people are actually drawn to autoflowers in the first place. In addition, because they go on their own rate and you can't get them too huge, typically, they tend to be smaller to some degree than photo period plants. But again, that really has to do with how much you can just veg out and the time you can put into a photo period to let that thing grow bigger and bigger before you put it into flower. There's a lot of great new genetics for autoflowers that can grow absolutely massive. If you do any night owl stuff or anything like that, you can see just monster plants. There's guys online like Autopotamus who are, you know, pushing 17 ounces plus, 20 plus ounces from autoflowers. So there's really no limitation as far as photo period versus auto. But it is just something to consider when you are choosing autoflowers over photo periods. Real quick, before we move on, I just want to make a note that there is a difference in addition to auto and photo. You also want to keep an eye out for feminized versus regular seeds. Typically, you won't find a lot of regular seeds available for sale, but you will find them from time to time from certain breeders, including Night Owl. And basically what the difference is that the feminized seeds guarantee that you're going to get flowers. And that's really what we're going for when we're growing cannabis at home, is we're trying to get those big buds, those, the flower that we can smoke. And if you've got male plants, you're not going to get any flower. You're going to get just seeds and pollen. You won't even get seeds. You need female plants for seeds, but you'll just get pollen and you'll be very sad with your result and all the time you put forward. So to kind of cut out the middleman there, always buy feminized seeds if you're just growing for flower. If it's a breeding project or something like that, I encourage you to go get regular seeds of a variety so you can try different things and have different potential males to grow so you can get different types of pollen. But typically for the home grower, for the beginner grower, you're going to want to look for autoflower seeds and you're going to want to look for feminized autoflower seeds. That brings me to one more little labeling distinction that you might see, and that is the generations, which might say F1 or F4, etc. Basically, what an F4 would be that it's the same genetics bred down four generations. So it's taking the same genetics and breeding them with themselves and themselves and themselves over and over. And what that does is it really stabilizes the genetic characteristics. There's two things to keep in mind. There's a genotype and a phenotype. The genotype is the complete range of expressions that a plant can have. It's everything within its genetic makeup. So if it's a hybrid between a sativa and an indica, it can go one of two ways, obviously, and lead one direction or the other. And that full spectrum is what's called the genotype. The phenotype is actually what appears in your garden. So that is somewhat dependent on the conditions, what you're feeding it, the environment that it's in, but that will all be dictated by the genotype. So when you're looking at an F4, for example, you're looking at something that a breeder has probably seen and said, oh, this one particular plant has this one particular quality or this set of qualities that I'm looking for. That could be a flavor, that could be a disease or pest resistance, that could be a particular structure, that could be a particular smell or effect. And that has been kind of chased through multiple generations. So a breeder will grow out a bunch of one plant and say, this is the one that shows the most characteristics that I want. So I'm going to reproduce this particular plant. Does that again. There's a variety of plants again, but then again, reproduces the one that has the most of those qualities that he wants. So once you get down to the fourth generation, a lot of those qualities are pretty stable. And a lot of that excess genotype has been, you know, discarded. So you really mostly have what you're looking for, or a more true plant to what you're hoping for in the phenotype. Whereas when you see something like an F1 is a true hybrid. That means that you've taken two genetically diverse parents. So that's a different male strain versus a female strain. And you combine them. And what happens with an F1 is that you get the most variety in the genotype. So that means that the phenotypes will be the widest variety. So if you get an F1, there's a real good chance that if you pop five of them or three of them or whatever, you're going to get a variety of different flavors, tastes, structures, even though they're from the same parents. And one of the benefits of this is that you get something called hybrid vigor. What hybrid vigor is a tendency of first generation hybrid plants to both be more vigorous, to grow more quickly, to be a little bit more strong, and to yield more. So there is a bit of chaos turned up on that meter because you don't know exactly what the phenotype will be. You haven't really dialed it in yet. But there's some really cool parts about growing F1s. So if, again, just to go over this, so if you see something like an F4, 5, 6, 7, it's more likely going to be very particular to the description or kind of the metrics that they're giving you on the breeder's page or the seed bank page. Whereas if it's an F1, you're going to have a lot more leeway both in flavors and, you know, grow style. So that's one thing to consider when you're looking at seed packages and considering the breeding that has already gone into them. So where do you order seeds, or where do you buy seeds from? Well, there's a couple different ways that you can get seeds. One of the easiest ways is to go down to your local grow store. And nowadays, a lot of them will have seeds available for you to purchase right there. So if you have a local grow supplier, that might be a cool place to go. Maybe talk to some locals and see what they've grown and tried and get some recommendations from them. Always cool to support local if possible. The next place that you will find seeds are from seed banks. Seed banks are different companies throughout the world. You can find them from Europe that ship here. You could find them all over the United States. And each one has a variety of breeders that they select and they stock. And some of them have particular types of things that they specialize in. So like autoflowers, there's a couple autoflower seed banks. There's a couple like Landrace seed banks that specialize in plants that are like, you know, localized, that are, you know, not hybridized, and you can buy seeds from them. So depending what you're looking for, you're going to want to try to find a good seed bank. I would say the best way to find a seed bank is to look on Instagram or forums. Like autoflower.org is a great resource for places to get seeds and get reputable seeds. And what do I mean by reputable seeds? You can get cannabis seeds from a lot of different places and they will probably do okay. One thing that I want to mention while we are talking about buying seeds is white label seeds. Basically what white label seeds are they have big cannabis seed producers, especially in Europe, who just go and they just, you know, grow a bunch of cannabis and they grow a bunch of seeds and they send them over in bulk to different seed banks. And those seed banks will go and they will label them whatever the most popular strain of the month or the year or whatever it is, and they'll sell them under that name. These seeds most of the time will do good. So let me just tell you my story of buying my first seeds. I went to a website that was recommended through some, you know, BS forum advertisement. Of course, I went to an advertisement on a forum instead of listening to the people on there. I bought seeds. They were Northern Lights Autoflower feminized seeds. They were exactly what I was trying to get. And I grew them out and I grew a pretty nice plant and I smoked it and I enjoyed it and I didn't think twice about it. And it really wasn't until years later that I learned about white label seeds and I realized that Northern Lights probably had nothing to do with Northern Lights and it was just some generic seed that happened to produce, you know, halfway decent autoflower cannabis. But it really wasn't what I paid for. It wasn't Northern Lights. It wasn't bred, you know, the way it should have been. And, you know, I don't know the genetic lineage of it. So I can't really say exactly what it was or wasn't. And I would just recommend against going white label if you can find that out. You might be able to search a seed bank and search white label with it to find out if there's any information about it. There's a really good episode on Dark Horse Genetics podcast that I'll link to in the description that talks about white label seeds and why it's a big problem for both seed banks and for breeders who get ripped off doing this. It's just, it's dishonest business, basically. So watch out for white label seed banks, and you will find great seed banks with great breeders on a bunch of different websites. So let me just name a couple that I'll put in the show notes too. Seeds Locker is a great new seed bank. Multiverse Beans is another great seed bank that you can order from. Both these guys have a lot of autoflowers on hand and ready. Really good guys, and they will help you out. And yeah, so I would recommend those two to start off with. You can also sometimes go directly to a breeder. Pretty cool news is that Night Owl actually just created their own website for the first time. So you can now order directly from Daz at Night Owl. It's nightowlseeds.com. And if you head over there and you go to the seeds tab, you could see they've got a bunch of seeds on here. And actually, while we're here, I think it's a good time to go over some seed description reading. So if you, right now, this is March 4th, 2024, so things might be different, but the first thing listed on the Night Owl Seeds webpage is Bouncing Soul Auto Regs. Okay, so what do we know just by reading that? They're auto flowers or autos. But these are regs, regulars. That's not what we want. We want feminized seeds. So we're going to skip the Bouncing Soul Auto Regs, and we're going to go to the next one, which is Kemen Juice F4 Auto Femme. So what do we know just automatically by reading the name on this? Basically, we know that these are auto flowers, so they're not going to be photo periods. They're feminized seeds. That means we're not going to get any issues with non-flowering plants. We're not going to have to cull any males. This is an F4, so that means it's been bred over four generations. And what has it been bred with? Now that we click on the details, we see some beautiful pictures, and we see it is a cross between Chem 91 clone only and Chem dogging with a citrus Chem pheno. This is generation F4 feminized autoflower. Comes with 3 autoflower seeds. That's pretty typical in a pack of autoflower seeds, as you'll get 3. But typically, if you order from the breeder, you will get a couple extra. So my experience is when you order from the breeder, you'll typically get 5 to 6 in a 3-pack. 6 if you're lucky, but definitely 4 or 5. The next thing that says here is that it yields 2 to 4 ounces. That's a pretty broad general range. I would bet, depending on the conditions, you could grow a lot more than that. You could also probably grow a lot less than that, obviously, if you stunt the plant. So just, you know, something to keep in mind is that that yield is not guaranteed. So the next thing on here is harvest time, 75 to 85 days from sprout. That's probably pretty accurate, to be honest with you. 85 days is fairly typical for the amount of time that an autoflower takes, especially if it's in the 2 to 4 ounce yield range. So then there's a description here. Let's go over just a couple notes on here. I'm going to skip down a couple paragraphs to Chem and Juice's F4 are indica dominant plants, squat, sturdy, with fat leaves and solid branching that will hold themselves up through flower without assistance. The satellite branches can reach almost as high as the main cola, and each will yield similarly sized flower clusters. Her nugs are extremely dense and glisten with greasy white trichomes, complemented by vibrant orange pistils. The flower structure leans more to the old school side of things, with resin production focusing on the flowers themselves instead of spilling over onto the fan leaves and down the stalks like some of my other varieties. Don't let the lack of fan leaf trichomes fool you. Her Chem potency and flavor after harvest more than make up for a lack of resin rails while growing. Her effects are uplifting mentally, sedative physically, great for evenings and social gatherings. Be sure to have ample airflow late into flower as to keep her rock hard buds happy and healthy. If you're into old school funk, then Chem and Juice should definitely make an appearance in your garden. Cool. There's a lot of information there. It talks about that these plants are indica dominant plants. That means that they are going to be a little bit more sedative. It says that they're squat and sturdy. That means you're probably not going to have giant tall plants if you've got kind of a shorter tent that you've got to worry about with a short light on there. They grow into flower without assistance. So most likely you're not going to need any kind of cage system or support. Any kind of trellising on there. These are great things to know before you go into it. It says, the extremely dense and glistening with trichomes. It gives you a great idea of what you can expect, especially into an F4, where some of these characteristics have really been worked on and stabilized. And it even tells you, later on, it says, be sure to have ample airflow late in flower as to keep her rock hard buds happy and healthy. This is something that commonly comes up is when you are growing your first big fat nugs, you're so impressed with them, but you're not keeping up with the airflow. So when you are going and purchasing seeds, there's a ton of information in these profiles. You could even do more homework if you want and go back up to this cross, the Chem 91 by Chem Dogging, and look more into those, dig deeper into those, and kind of see what the genetic heritage of these plants that you're going to be growing are. You can find a lot of this information on both seed banks, on Instagram from breeders, or on breeders' websites. So keep an eye out for that. And make sure that whatever you're picking is something that you're interested in, whether it is, the smells or the taste or the structure. These things are all important, and there's so many varieties out there. It's really worth checking out a bunch to really decide what you want to grow. So let's wrap this up with a quick discussion, especially for new growers, on am I going to get in trouble for buying cannabis seeds from the internet? The short answer is probably not. I'm not a lawyer, so don't take any of this as legal advice, but from my understanding, Cannabis seeds contain less than 0.3 or whatever it is THC that's required by law to consider it hemp. And under a recent agriculture bill, it was considered legal to sell and have cannabis seeds because of the basically non-existent THC quantity in them. Sprouting, germinating, growing them is another can of worms that I can't get into. But I would say for the most part, if you are just buying seeds online, for the most part, most of these companies are pretty discreet. They'll just send you some kind of a black bubble envelope with your name on it and some generic return address. So no one's going to think anything about it. But realistically, I wouldn't worry about it. That's just me, though. I've been doing this for a while, and I've never had any issues. I've never had packages lost or stolen. Sometimes things take an extra day or two, and I think it's just the mail. I don't think it has anything to do with the contents. So my two cents is if you want seeds and you can't find them locally, I wouldn't worry too much about purchasing them through a reputable purchaser. If you have some reason why you are concerned about your bank or, you know, someone who has access to your credit card, check out a website like privacy.com. That's a way to create, this is totally legal, by the way. This sounds shady when I say this, but it's a way to create debit cards to be used online that don't necessarily have your real personal information tied to them, even though that they are tied to a bank account that you own. Not really an endorsement, but I've had pretty good luck with them, and I like using them for purchasing things online. So with that, I would say basically just don't worry about purchasing seeds. If you're looking to grow auto flowers and you can't find them locally, go for it. Go through a good breeder or seed bank's website. You can usually pay by credit card. Some of them will allow you to send physical cash or checks to them. Some of them you can pay with Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. It really depends what you're wanting to do and what you can find on these websites that you want to buy. So take a look around at a we'll have some links in the show notes to different seed banks and a couple different breeders that we recommend, and take it from there. I'm really excited for you to get your very first autoflower seeds. Thanks for checking out this episode of Autoflower Power, where we've discussed buying your first autoflower seeds from the internet, typically. We've discussed the difference between feminized and regular seeds and why you're probably going to want feminized as a beginner grower. We've discussed F1 versus F4 generations and why F4 is more stable with the genetics and F1 might give you more hybrid vigor and a bigger yield. We've also discussed white label seeds and how to find a great seed bank or a great seed breeder. We've also gone into how to read a strain guide and what you can really expect from some of those numbers and what some of those labels mean on there. Last but not least, we've talked about how to buy seeds online and whether or not it's safe for you to do so. So I hope you've taken something from this podcast that gets you going and gets you excited to buy some seeds online. If you do, please let me know what you get. I'm really excited to hear. Shoot me an email at SocratesGrows@protonmail.com or check out the website at SocratesGrows.com/seeds for more notes from this episode, including some seed banks and awesome breeders. So until next week, take it easy. Bye.